I'm Jane Clayson in for Robin Young. It's Here and Now. President Obama left South Korea today without a trade agreement and without the consensus he'd hoped to achieve among the world's largest economies on how to achieve sustainable economic growth. While leaders of the G20 group of nations vowed to avoid a currency war, many of them sharply criticized the U.S. for what they say is currency manipulation, which will hurt the world's economies. Joining us now for an update from Seoul in South Korea is Hans Nichols, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Hans, start with the G20 summit. What was the president hoping to achieve there?
Well, the overall goal was to get some sort of consensus on trade imbalances. Now, the question is, how do you get to that goal? At the ministers' meeting last month here in Korea, the U.S. floated this proposal for a 4% range on account imbalances. They got nowhere near that at the leaders' level.
And so what went wrong? What was at play behind the scenes? It seemed as if the president was playing defense a lot during the summit.
The quantitative easing and Mr. Bernanke's monetary policy back in the States really put the president in a position of negotiating from weakness. All along, he was saying that this isn't about affecting weakening the dollar, but that was the argument that you had a lot of from the other countries, especially Brazil and some of the other emerging countries. Now, did they use this as a bit of an excuse? Yeah, maybe. But they could say, look, the United States is printing all this money, and they're weakening their currency. Who are they to tell us that we have to let our currency strengthen? That was the argument from the Chinese.
Well, it does seem interesting, Hans, that China is charging the U.S. with manipulating its currency with this move by the Federal Reserve with this $600 billion intervention in the U.S. economy, because for years the U.S. has been charging that China has been manipulating its currency, no?
And the president used some probably his strongest, if not hottest, language yet on this trip, accusing China of currency. He didn't say manipulation because that has certain legal implications, but he did say that there it was an irritant the way they devalue their RMB.
Where does this all leave the G20 with regard to balancing world trade and bringing sustained world economic growth?
In limbo. The G20 probably had its high point in April of 2009 when the new U.S. president went to London. The economy was still very much in crisis. Everyone worked concertedly. It doesn't look like it works that great when the economy isn't clearly in crisis, when it's just kind of, teetering on tepid recovery or sluggish growth. Economic forums don't have, binding, sanctionable, actionable things they can do. So it rests on cooperation and people seeing their mutual interests. So it worked in London at the G20 because everyone was very, very worried about where the economy was going. Now that people have different views about the economy, states are acting independently and in their own self-interest.
Hans, let me ask you more about that trade deal that President Obama went to South Korea to achieve. What happened?
The outstanding issues are beef and autos. The U.S., I think there's something like 2,000 or 3,000 cars. U.S. cars are actually on the market in Korea, and the hundreds of thousands of Korean cars that are in the States. So the Obama administration is under great pressure, both from the unions and from Congress, to level that out before they finalize the deal and then ship it to Congress for passage. And they didn't get there. The beef issue is less contentious. So the president still says, he can find the sweet spot, I think was his term in the closing press conference, and that they want the right deal, not the fast deal. So it's still possible that they get an accord on this. It's not going to go away. This free trade deal would be the easiest, in a way, for the White House to get through Congress. They're still the ones with Colombia and Panama pending. And it would get the White House back into the game, or at least this administration back into the game, of free trade agreements and move the president towards his goal of doubling exports over the next 5 years. But if you don't get South Korea, it's kind of hard to make the argument that you are really moving full steam ahead on trade.
Hans, how does President Obama emerge from this trip? You've been following him in Asia.
I think he had a very good first part of the trip. In India, he clearly, along with his wife, won a lot of new friends on the subcontinent. In Indonesia, there's just great relief that this trip finally happened, and I think the president made the argument that he wanted to make there, and that is that counterterrorism and commerce are the way forward for that part of the world. I think he hit a bit of a stumbling block here in Seoul. Of course, he has a, if he thought negotiations were hard with the Chinese, he's got a whole set of negotiations that he's going to have to do with Republicans back in D.C. who are pretty powerful as well.
Hans Nichols, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Hans, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks again.